This is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist, here on Real Liberty Media. I invite you to join me listening to other shows here on Real Liberty Media, shows such as Behind the Woodshed with Hal Anthony, evolutionarily engaging in counter-propaganda tactics and related work. We have It's All Connected with Grimner and Circle. They connect all the dots. The subject doesn't matter. The connections are real and tangible. Free your mind with Grimner and Moose Girl. You can break from thought constraints on the scope of your vision only by realizing those limits that have been presented to you do not apply to you. They are not real. Those concepts make people feel comfortable by giving them thought boundaries. This is the Free Your Mind Show with Moose Girl and Grimner. Sit back and listen and see your way beyond the world as it has been defined. A Ponder Gander with Ben E. To think and reason, raising expectations through thought-provoking episodes. If you cannot do great things, do small things in a great way. Grimner broadcasts the Sunday Blues Show live on Sundays from noon to 3 p.m. Eastern. He plays all kinds of blues, from great oldies like Robert Johnson, Howlin' Wolf, and John Lee Hooker, to the most modern hard-rocking blues from Joe Bonamassa, Papa Chubby, and Samantha Fish. And all of this stuff between, like Stevie Ray Vaughan, Jack Bock Project, and Gary Moore. He also plays blues music from classic rock bands, the Rolling Stones, ZZ Top, Cream, etc. And while he is playing the music, we are in the Real Liberty Media chat playing a rousing game of trivia. So come on over and join us every Sunday for some great tunes, fun trivia, and great chat. There's also a top 10 countdown where Gary L. and Gigi's Boo play the top 10 songs from years gone by, and they provide some interesting historical facts and trivia about the songs and the era. These are all great shows with great content and inspiring messages. Come spend some time with us, get to know us, and we will get to know you. Also, if you love what you hear and want to represent, we have Real Liberty Media gear. You will love the artwork and it will inspire conversation. Check out our Amazon store and Real Liberty Media goods from our website, reallibertymedia.com. This is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist, here on Real Liberty Media. Thank you all for joining me. It has been the week from hell, honestly. I think last week, I was on Saturday because I was talking about the well. It hasn't stopped, honestly. We did get a well pump installed, a motor. That was really interesting, and I can't find the video that I shot with my drone of the well pump being pulled, because I was going to post it somewhere, but I don't know where it is. I have to look. But, and I don't know if you guys remember, but last weekend was like over 100 degrees here in Oregon. It was horrible, like literally horrible. We're not used to it. I know some of you guys live in places where you get 100 often, let's say. So you're kind of more prepared for it than those of us up here in the Pacific Northwest. But it was horrible. I hated it. Especially not having my well pump working. We had water. I think I discussed it last week. But borrowing water isn't like having your own water source. And then when we got the well pump fixed, We found out that the septic system, for whatever reason, had become clogged at the time we didn't have water. So when we fired up the well pump and started using the house again, sewage started backing up in the drains. Luckily, that's as far as it got before we figured it out and had to do something else. Hey, thank you for the report. We're not sure yet because we were supposed to have, I got a question in the chat that said tree roots. I don't think so. We had a lot of sediment come up from the well. I mean, they did a really good job of purging it when they got the new pump running, but still there's quite a bit of, kind of, because you stirred up your water, there's a lot of dirt and sand or whatever. And I think some of that got in there. And then, of course, using the toilets for the day that we had the well fired up and didn't know that there was some blockage, plus 100-degree temperature probably didn't help, probably kind of dried stuff out in the on the way to the septic tank. Anyway, we're going to find out. We have, some drain company coming that has a hydro jet. And supposedly it'll blow anything out of your pipes or blow your pipes. And you know what? Honestly, I don't care. Excuse me 1 minute here. I'm sorry about that. But I really don't care, and I'll tell you why. So we've owned this house since 2000, roughly. And we've kind of known since then that the septic system, the septic tank, is going to need to be replaced. It's an old metal tank, I think. Yeah, back in the day, they made them metal. And, it's about done. I mean, we even had the, we had already scheduled septic pumping appointment because the whole ordeal with the RV, if you guys remember back a few episodes, me ranting about the RV and all that stuff anyway. So we had already planned to have the septic system pumped, and they came out on the week has been horrible. I don't know what day they came out. They came out and pumped the tank, and, the guy said, you might get two more years out of this. So, okay. So we already kind of have figured out we're going to replace that tank, and that's the kind of the last thing that really needs to be replaced. I mean, this place was built in the 60s or 70s, I can't remember. It's kind of due. It's due. So we're going to do it, and then, that'll be off our list of concerns. I guess maybe the last thing might be to repipe the house, because I bet some of those pipes have some significant clogs in them. Anyway, I know it sounds kind of strange, but I am kind of happy to be returning to somewhat normal life here. And it kind of reminds me, I have been always one of those guys who just appreciates life every single day. And it's because of times like this, man, when things go wrong, they go really wrong, or they can. And I don't like to dwell on it so much. I certainly don't like to worry about it, stuff that could happen. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen, and then you have to deal with it. It kind of plays right along with this whole kind of preparedness theme, whatever's going to happen, well, at least be prepared. And somebody said last night in Ground Zero chat, they said, skills are pretty important. It might be more important to have, I don't know that it's more important. It will also be important to have some skill that you can barter. You can have food, you can have drugs, beer, cigarettes, or tobacco, I should say. All of those items are pretty decent bartering tools. But if you have a skill or a trade, that somebody's going to need, that can also be really handy. I was going to tell you guys, it was so funny. Last week when it was over 100, 110, 111 here, maybe hotter, I don't know. It was so flipping hot. But when the so we live about 40 miles from the coast of Oregon. And so when a westerly starts coming in, or when the marine layer starts drifting in, it really cools down. And by the end of the day Sunday, when it went from 100 and whatever down to, I don't know, 70 something, we were like freezing. It was so funny. We were in shorts and, you know, light mesh shirts or tank tops or whatever. And that breeze came in and we were like, oh man, we're going to have to put a jacket on or something. It felt so cold compared to how hot it was. I mean, it was probably a 40 degree temperature change, at least where I live. So, it was pretty crazy. Anyway, hopefully that whole disaster week, all that stuff is coming to a halt. We have, like I said, the I don't know, pipe cleaning people. It might be Roto-Rooter or what's their name? Yeah, Roto. I don't know. It's some company. I think it is Roto-Rooter or whoever. They'll be out on Monday, supposedly. They were supposed to, they guaranteed us they'd be out on Friday, and they never made it. Even when we called them late in the day and said, hey, are you guys still coming? They were like, yeah, we're going to make sure we get there, but they didn't. So anyway, this week, oh, something kind of fun. I know I've talked about goats before, and goat meat being a good meat. But my neighbors, who are this couple, they're about 20 years old, really young. They bought the property next to mine, which really kind of shocked me, especially when I found out how young they were. And they are really hard workers, man. I'm not kidding. They work. So one of them, so she is a pipe fitter, and he is an electrician apprentice. And they both work at least an hour away from here. They get up at, I don't know what time in the morning. I think sometimes they get up before me. I get up between 4 and 4:30. And they take care of their animals. They have horses and goats and chickens and dogs and I don't know what else. Maybe something else. But anyway, oh yeah, they had a hog for a while, but I think they took the hog back to their folks' place or somewhere. But anyway, so this week they were going to, they wanted to go on a trip. They're going to be gone for a few days, and they asked if I would milk their goat, because we'd talked before, and I told them I had goats before, and they have goats, and one of them had a kid, and the kid is weaned now, but the couple likes goat milk, and we actually get some of their goat milk. And so he wanted to make sure that the goat got milked while he was gone. Well, it's been like 10 years since I milked a goat. But I said, yeah, I would do it. Well, anyway, yesterday, so they have somebody staying at their house, their brother staying at their house, but he's not real good with animals, I guess. So, oh, and they have this dog, this, well, it's one of those herd dogs, the big white ones. I forget what they're called. Somebody will say it in chat, I'm sure. But anyway, that dog, holy hell, he really literally scares me. I mean, he's you know, probably comes up to my stomach at the very least, just standing, you know. And he was supposed to be kind of in this kennel area, but he got out, and he got to, no, not a Great Dane, the big white one, Pyrenees, Great Pyrenees. Thanks, Rob Works, because that tipped me off, Great Pyrenees. Anyway, gigantic dog. I call him Cujo. His name is actually Yukon. I call him Cujo because he, you know, I mean, he's intimidating, and he really loves his goats, so he will not let me near him. So yesterday, the guy who is taking care of the property while the couple is gone, he actually was working, so he took off for work, and when I went to milk the goats, I see Cujo out there, and I'm like, oh no, I'm not messing with Cujo. So that goat's going to have to wait. Oh, my God. I felt so sorry for her because by the time I did get to her late in the day, I'm not kidding. I went down there and I had I always get a bucket of grain and try and entice the goats into the milking stand with a bucket of grain. And she would have nothing to do with me. I mean, she just kept, you know, for 10 or 15 minutes, she was walking away from me. But this is the sad thing. She was so full of milk that every time she took a step, milk squirted out. And I was like, oh, honey, really, I'm just here to help you, you know. And finally, it was kind of funny, after about 15 minutes, she kind of looked at me, because I was heading back to the gate where the milking stand was, and she kind of looked at me like, he's going to milk me. And she just came trotting over there. I opened the gate. She went right in the gate, jumped right up in the milking stand, put her head in the head stall. I snapped it in, put the bucket of grain in front of her, and we got 3/4 of a gallon of milk from her. I felt so bad for her. Holy crap. Anyway, she's a real sweetheart, and it's been so long since I did any milking, but you know what? I think you never forget. It's just one of those things like riding a bike, you know, just knowing, you know, what procedures to go through to keep the milk clean, you know, because it's not really clean when it first comes out. You get goat hair in there, and you have to clean their teats off, you know, before you start milking. And, you know, there's kind of a procedure you have to go through, and then filter the milk when you're done to get all the hair and stuff out of it. But anyway, I think I've mentioned this before, because I do love goat milk, and it's really good for you. I've talked about that before, about how the fat globules are all the same size. It's naturally homogenized. When kids can't drink cow milk, or, I don't know, have some reaction to different parts of milk, you know, milk protein or milk sugar or milk fat, whatever part of it they have trouble with, doctors often recommend goat milk because it's so much easier to digest. And we actually had 2 grandkids who needed goat milk, you know, after they were born, and for whatever reason, they couldn't do milk, human or dairy milk. So, well, cow milk. So we put them, I mean, the docs recommended they go on goat milk, and sure enough, it did the deal. It was really good. But anyway, this is how I would do my goats, is because I wanted meat, I would breed my dairy goat with a meat goat male, and then I would get kind of a meat dairy goat offspring. But the offspring we only let live till about 6 months, because you have to harvest them before they mature, especially the males, or they just smell like goat. And the meat smells like goat, and you can't get rid of it. So, I mean, you can't get rid of the smell. And, I mean, I tried. I made a really nice curry one time because this one male goat lived a little bit too long. And, like, you know, he was mature, and he started producing hormones and spraying himself. And they spray themselves right on the neck, so they make this little perfumey flag for their girls. And he was at that point already, and so I thought, oh, well, you know, he hasn't been alive very long, so it won't be that bad. But I took the neck meat, and I made a really nice curry. And what, Beetle? What? Holy shit. Anyway, I made this really delicious curry, and I tried to put it, like, I got the first bite in my mouth, but as it got close to my mouth, I could smell, that real goaty male goat smell. And I was like, oh, God, that's going to suck. And I put it in my mouth, and I could taste the curry, but that overwhelming odor. And I tried a second bite, and I just couldn't do it. I mean, I just couldn't do it. It was just, like, so horrible. I couldn't do it. Now, there was a lot of other meat on that goat that was fine. But But the neck meat and where he sprayed, you just couldn't do it. I mean, you had to feed it to the dogs or something. It was not good. Anyway, but that's how I did it. So I would have goat meat kids, and that would, of course, the moms would be producing milk, and then I would milk the moms after the kids weaned. Like, we'd leave them on there for, I don't know, like a month or 5 weeks or something. I forget. And then we would start taking the mom, like I would milk in the morning and then let the kids have the milk the rest of the day for a couple more weeks, a few more weeks. And then when they were kind of weaned, I would start milking twice a day. And, you know, we would make cheese with that milk, or just drink the milk or give it to the kids or whatever. But anyway, that's a good way to do it. You get milk and meat from, you know, your little goat herd. And if you can do it without having a male around, it's awesome. I think I told you guys before about people walking by the property, you know, and usually it was people visiting other people on the hill, staying for a few days, and they'd go for a walk, and they'd walk by the pasture, and the goats would be up there, and the goats always wanting to see what you have to eat, so they'll run over to the fence, and that male goat would run over there, and you'd see these people, you know, reach out to pet it and pet his beard and stuff, and you're just thinking, oh, you poor, sorry bastard, because now you got that male goat smell on you, and it is hard to get off. But it was kind of funny watching people do it, because you knew what they were getting into. It was pretty damn funny. Let's see. I wanted to talk about Independence Day, because Independence Day is really different for me this year. First of all, I want to say, you know, I was in uniform service for 29 years. And one thing number one, I had a great time in the military in uniform service. I've kind of always had a great time. Kind of anything I've done has always been really good. So, like I say, I've always made the best of whatever was going on in my life. This year, it seems, is very different, because this year, I think my life has changed a lot. And Independence Day certainly means something very different to me today than it did last year. And I guess what I wanted to finish this idea. So I retired from the military after 29 and a half years of service. And every month, just as it happened yesterday, I get that retirement check. And I got to tell you, that thing comes in handy. You know, like, I don't really think about it much, because my wife handles all the finances. She never says anything about money I spend. She'll let me know if we ever start running short, but it's been a long time since that happened. Although after this week, holy crap, we're going to have to put the skids on some spending just to make sure we get everybody paid. But, and then something else that happened too is we had ordered a hog and had it, you know, butchered and processed, had some of the meat smoked and, you know, bacon and ham stuff. But, we had to pick that up yesterday, so it was another $1,000. I'm not kidding. This week, you could measure, I shouldn't really say it, but let's just say every single day was, you know, thousands of dollars being spent. It was not a good week. But, that's what I was saying. So retirement pay comes in every month. I don't have to do a damn thing for it, because I already did what I needed to do to have it. So that's awesome. I love and respect, you know, my brothers and sisters who continue to serve in the military. I think it's really honorable for whatever reason you do it. You know, I did it because, number one, I wasn't going to be able to afford college. And at the time, there was a good GI Bill, and it was the only way I was going to get college paid for partially, right? So for me, it worked out really good. I had a great time, and I enjoyed what I did. But this year, I'm selling Independence Day differently, because I've kind of claimed independence from several things this year. One is politics and voting, because now I understand that it's pretty much a complete crock of crap. And I kind of went through this maybe 20 years ago too, because I got tired of the same arguments every freaking election season. And then as soon as the election season is over with, who's killing elephants? I would if I had to, but I am not killing elephants. Anyway, kind of claiming independence from elections and politics and maybe certain, I don't know, it's just my life is a little bit different this year. I'm looking at it very differently. It seems like every single election cycle we go through really produces the same result. It doesn't matter who you think is a better candidate or not. They all suck. They all suck in one way or another, and they're all pussies. I mean, look at this. Oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that. I don't care. They are all pussies. They're all, anyway. You know, so if you look at the insurrection of January 6th or whatever day, I don't even know what day it was. I think it was the 6th. By the way, Buria, I think is the correct pronunciation of goat meat, is delicious. And a lot of times, if you have an authentic taco truck in your town you live in or city, you'll see burrilla on the menu, and you can get tacos with goat meat or tamales with goat meat or whatever. But anyway, it's delicious. Where was I? crap. I was talking about voting or something. Oh, no, and these politicians being pussies. Because, you know, I mean, they say they were terrified on, you know, when the grand insurrection happened in January. But honestly, you know, and I've said before, those people should make decisions with the thought in mind that at any point they could overstep their bounds and there could be a revolution in this country. Who knows if that's going to happen or not. But I wanted to look up Kate Brown, who is the governor of Oregon. I wanted to look up her bio before the show, and I didn't. Because I had a lot of other stuff. I actually have a really long topic I want to talk about, and it's coming up. But I wanted to look her up because she just looks like, I don't know if you've seen her. She looks like this little, you know, kind of quiet, peaceful, mousy-eyed woman, person, you know, who seems so calm and, you know, soft-spoken. But you know what happened with COVID? It turned her into this freaking raging lunatic tyrant that, you know, imposed these. I think I even said last week, Oregon had, maybe I didn't because, oh, that's right, I heard it this week. I was preparing to do a show Tuesday, and then the damn power went out either Monday night or Tuesday, I can't remember. But Tuesday we were getting the well pump installed. So, you know, it was a hell of a day, so that's why I couldn't do a show Tuesday. Anyway, but this Kate Brown, she's just this, you know, little kind of slender woman, you know, who, I don't know what her background is, but I'm definitely going to check it out. And she just turned into this raving lunatic tyrant. You know, Oregon, I guess, always had some of the lowest numbers, some of the lowest rates of infection of any of the states. And, you know, Governor Brown, of course, she would talk about how great Oregon was doing, how great it was that we were cooperating, you know, with these lockdown things and people were wearing masks and social distancing and blah, blah, blah. I honestly think it was probably just that we don't have a gigantic population of people here in Oregon, although it's, I don't know, it's probably bigger than some states, but it's not, there's not that many people really here in Oregon. But I wanted to kind of look and see what her background was, because it just surprised me how quickly power went to this person's head. And man, once she realized she could put her knee on your neck, there was like no taking it off, you know. I don't know what finally happened that they lifted all of the restrictions this week on the 30th, because, you know, she was adamant about everybody, about Oregon reaching 70% vaccination. And then all of a sudden, you know, maybe somebody did threaten her or something. I don't know. But, yeah, all of a sudden on Monday, they started talking about lifting the restrictions by Wednesday or Thursday, whatever the day the 30th was. And sure enough, on the morning of the 30th, they lifted all of the restrictions and we're back to normal here in Oregon, like one of the last states. Literally one of the last states to lift all those restrictions. You know what's funny, though? I don't believe that this is over by any means, and I bet none of you do either. And I'll tell you why. Because immediately after talking about lifting the restrictions, it seems like all this hype started about the variants. And even, I think I even had a story. Let me just flip through my notes real quick here. I think I even had a story from, like, Israel. Yeah, Ron Ballasser, who leads an expert advisory panel for the Israeli government, in announcing the finding on Friday, said that the country might end up implementing another lockdown after opening up earlier this year. According to the Wall Street Journal, the fully vaccinated individuals... I cut it off. What an idiot. But basically, they're saying that the Delta variant, you know, is on the rise, and it's affecting people who have been vaccinated, given the jab, or and people who haven't. So not only that, but, you know, so that was a state of emergency that the governors imposed, and in that state of emergency, they claimed all of these powers. So guess what happened either shortly before or after Governor Brown announced that we'd be lifting the restrictions due to COVID, state of emergency. Immediately after that, she enacted a state of emergency because of the threat of wildfires in Oregon. And man, the hair kind of stood up on the back of my neck, and I was just thinking, oh my God, here we go again with this state of emergency thing. Because, I mean, she assumed all of these powers from the state of emergency that she declared with the COVID pandemic, supposedly COVID pandemic. And I could just imagine now, especially, I bet a lot of governors out there who have seen the ability the ability they have to wield power by claiming a state of emergency. I bet we're going to see a bunch more of it. And that show last night on Ground Zero, I didn't really listen in detail. I didn't listen closely, but I was getting the gist of what Clyde was talking about. This program called Cyber Polygon, I think it was something like that. And basically what it is another, simulation, in this case, of a computer hack that takes down the internet in the United States. And this is what kind of worries me about these simulations, because before 9/11, or actually I think during 9/11, we were actually, you know, having this simulation of a terror attack on the United States. Before the pandemic, we had the Spandemic 2023 or 2021 to 2023 or whatever it was that came out in 2019. The report came out in 2019. And then here a year later, we had the actual thing happen again. And there was something else along that line that happened. I thought I talked about it in the previous episode, and I can't remember it right now. But it had to do with the gasoline hack. Of course, we had the election hacks that happened that can be seen happening. Several forensic computer companies monitoring that situation can show that, you know, there were hacks going on at that time. So we're very vulnerable. But it kind of worries me that here we're doing another simulation. And it's supposedly on July 9th, this simulation is supposed to take effect. You know, and the thing is, they're talking about having these climate lockdowns. I mean, now that they know that, you know, that the population of pretty much every country in the world will just go along with whatever, you know, these authorities say, they're just thinking about doing lockdowns for whatever reason. And right now, you know, because climate is so important and man-made climate change is, you know, ruining the world, whenever somebody deems it necessary to shut down the, I was going to say the economy, but really it's just the world, so that the earth can take a breath, they're just going to order us all not to go to work, not to drive our cars, not to run our air conditioners. They're going to be rolling blackouts or rolling brownouts to cut down on the amount of power used because we're not producing power, you know, as we should by some means, because, you know, we're kind of restricting fossil fuels because, you know, fossil fuels are bad. You know, fossil fuels are bad. Everything else is good. And, you know, I got to tell you something. You guys remember I was just talking about how we cleared this property next door. And I think some of you have seen the videos of it. But once we got the view back after that property was cleared, and we knew about this, but I didn't realize how big this thing was. So there's a ginormous solar farm down there in the valley. And I want to go find out how much power it produces, because from my vantage point, I could take the perfect picture and post it with the amount of power that it produces to show people how many solar panels you would have to put up to run. I'll bet you that this solar farm that looks like it's maybe 3 to 5 acres, I bet you it'll power maybe a house or two. That's what I'm thinking. I could be wrong, but from everything I've been reading, probably not. But I'm going to find out. I'm going to do the research because I think it's like the perfect picture to show people. Like, there's other buildings, like, you know, that you can see in this picture, so you'd have an idea of how big this solar farm is and how much power it produces, and then put it into, you know, make it realistic for people. Okay, you want to run your house on power, look at this is how many solar panels you're going to need, and this is how many batteries you're going to need to store the power until you either use it or sell it. I think it would be interesting, so I got to look into that. And actually, I know one guy in town here, the medical doctor, who runs the local clinic, great guy, Dr. Malloy, James Malloy. He will know who that solar panel system, solar farm belongs to, and then we'll find out. And yeah, it takes a lot of resources to make solar panels and wind turbines. It's a ridiculous, it's crazy. And actually, kind of, why I guess I talk about hypocrisy a lot. You know, and I probably have my own hypocrisies. I'm probably hypocritical about some things. I'm sure I am. I'm a human being, for crying out loud. But today, I want to talk about something I mentioned last week. I kind of didn't have time to go into it last week. I basically said politicians continue killing black people. So I went back and kind of gathered up some information, and this is why I wanted to talk about this, is because it's hypocritical. The whole Black Lives Matter thing, movement, isn't about black lives. And so that's why it bugs the hell out of me that we call it Black Lives Matter, but it's not about Black Lives Matter. They should have called it We Hate the Police. They should have called it, you know, pigs are bad or whatever. They should have called it anything other than Black Lives Matter. So I'm going to give you some examples of what has happened since we started, started this whole movement about defunding the police. There are six cities in the United States that whoever compiled this, I'll get to it in a minute, compiled these statistics. Let me see. I want to find out. Oh, the Daily Caller News Foundation. They're the ones who collected this data. They went to these cities and they kind of compiled the data from news stories and police reports and medical examiners' statistics. So the six cities are Chicago, Baltimore, Milwaukee, Pittsburgh, Los Angeles, and Indianapolis. And what they found was that, there has been a spike in violent crimes in almost all of these cities. And one of them, I don't think there was really that much of a spike. But what they found was that the violence disproportionately affected black people. So more black people have died, been killed, since they started defunding the police. So let's look at each one of these just a little bit. And that's why I was saying, see, it's not about black lives. If it was about black lives mattering, we would actually address the issues of people killing black people, but that's not what this whole thing was about. The whole thing was about only police killing black people, and specifically about police killing unarmed black people, which I think was 9 or 11 people the year before. Let's look at the numbers here. I wanted to read some of these things. The percentage of murder victims in Chicago that were black increased from 70% in 2020 to 81% in 2021, while that figure increased from 60 to 90% year over year in Milwaukee, the data showed. In one of the cities analyzed, the percentage of black victims decreased, but the raw number of black victims still increased. Democratic leaders of most of the cities examined voted to greatly reduce police funding amid widespread Black Lives Matter protests last year. And so do you see what I'm saying? So basically what they did was they said, look, we need to defund the police because Black Lives Matter. And what did they actually do? They actually caused the deaths of many more black lives. They killed more black people by reducing the police force. Does that make any sense at all? I know some of you here don't like police. Fine with me. I don't care one way or another. You know, mostly I kind of live my life like, just don't bother me. You know, I'll handle business here myself. And that's kind of what has happened in these cities and other places in the United States. I saw the numbers for Portland. I'm going to try and bring it up real quick because it was kind of shocking to me. And it was in a ginormous chart. So I'm going to look at it. Oh, yeah. Because they didn't even really talk about Portland. Portland homicides. Portland's kind of the poster child of these Antifa and BLM riots, right? Portland homicides up 533%. Portland. It used to be such a nice little city. Oh, God. And I was listening to somebody the other day talking about how great it is that you can actually go to a park, you know, pretty much anywhere you live in the city of Portland, you're able to walk to a park that actually has trees and grass. And it's so beautiful. And that might have been true I don't know, 5, 10, 15 years ago. But oh my God, the last time I went through Portland, which was when we went to get our pup, the new pup, who's doing awesome, by the way. It's just a shithole. It literally is a shithole. Like, there are so many, I don't know, homeless people or campers. I don't care what you call them. It and so much graffiti and trash. There was one camp I saw next to the interstate because I didn't get off the interstate going through Portland. I never would. I mean, unless I absolutely had to, and I hope that I'm always so prepared I don't ever absolutely have to. But there was this one camp kind of at the top of a grassy hill under some trees that were along the highway. And all of their trash just like flowed down this little trail that went down to the highway. And it was, I don't know why I think it's funny. It's disgusting. But you could see their little places up there, their tents and their cardboard and whatever and all their clothes and stuff. And then all this trash just rolling down the hillside. Kind of crazy because, you know, you worry about littering, right? Like I don't let anything fly out of my vehicle when I'm going down the road. I certainly don't ever purposefully throw anything out the window. And yeah, I mean, part of it is I don't want anybody stopping me and writing me a ticket for littering, but also it's disgusting. You know, your trash has got to go somewhere. But not these people, man. Their trash just goes wherever. And I mean, it kind of makes sense. I mean, it's not like they have a bunch of garbage cans near their places or whatever. But anyway, I'm going to get on with this, but I got to take a drink. I'm drying out here. Sorry. Okay. Oh, I hope you didn't hear that, but that was fantastic. When police legitimacy is greatly reduced, you get more crime because people are no longer relying on the criminal justice system for assistance, which I think that's fine. Rosenfeld, whoever they're talking to, told the New York Times, people are less willing to cooperate with police in investigations, less willing to report crimes or other problems to the police, and more willing to take matter into their own hands. And I think that's absolutely what we see now. Or what we are seeing now. We are seeing an uptick in violent crimes across the country, specifically gun violence. Well, duh. I mean, you don't bring a knife to a gunfight, right? If you're going to protect yourself, you're going to protect yourself with the one thing that stops somebody with a gun. It's a gun. It happens all the time. You know, whenever somebody's shooting up something on a rampage, how does it end? Usually with a gun. Very seldom, I think, are taken in to custody safely and unharmed. At least I'm usually hoping they don't survive. We're seeing an uptick in violent crime across the country, specifically gun violence. Miami-Dade County Mayor Daniela Levine told the New York Times earlier this month. Oh, here in Baltimore. Baltimore played a little trick. This is interesting. In Baltimore, black people represented 69 of the 152, or 45%, murder victims between January 1 of 21 and June 17th. So this is pretty current. This is just, 2 weeks ago. According to the Baltimore Sun database, while murder statistics between that same period and 2020 were unavailable, wonder why, black people were the victims of 130 or 39% of the 355 homicides committed in Baltimore for all of last year, the database showed. But here's a good way to hide the real information. The majority of murder victims in 2020 and 2021 were listed without racial information in the Baltimore Sun database. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, let's not talk about, you know, who's killing who and if black lives really matter. It is hypocrisy. You understand? I know Baltimore. I think my sister lives somewhere in Maryland. I mean, I know she lives somewhere in Maryland. She lives in Frederick. And, oh boy, Bear and Dexter are going to start playing, so you're going to hear some dog sounds on the show. That's good. I don't think we mind too much. But anyway, Baltimore's another one of those. In fact, I think didn't Baltimore lead the country in homicides year after year for I don't know how many years? Anyway, but they don't want you to know about anything other than, you know, which black people are being killed by police. That's the only thing that's really important. And, of course, in Portland, remember last week I was talking about the white guy that the cop shot and killed, and the Antifa and BLM protesters were going crazy, like they were getting all ramped up to cause more damage to buildings and more violence in the streets. And the Portland police actually made an announcement, no, we can verify the guy we shot and killed was white, and then everybody was cool with it. It's horrible. It really is horrible. Okay, in Chicago. Oh, I wanted to finish up with Baltimore. Maybe. Oh, yeah, because this is... Oh, I hate having, you know, quiet airtime. Okay, we're going to skip it. Chicago, another hot seat. At least 317 total homicides committed in Chicago between January 1, 21 and June 22, 21. According to the Chicago Sun-Times, in the same period last year, 295 murders were committed. So it's up 22 additional people killed in that six-month period. While black people represent 207 of the murder victims in Chicago through the period last year, ending in June 22, 2020, they represent a whopping 257 of the victims this year. According to the Sun-Times, that means black people have been the victims of roughly 81% of murders this year, while they were victims in about 70% of 2020 murders. Again, the hypocrisy of it. Because, of course, you all know the mayor of Chicago, Lori Lightfoot, and this is what she had to say. This is awesome. I just love this. While we will slow the rate of growth with a resulting $80 million in corporate fund savings on my watch, we will never make cuts or policy changes that inhibit the core mission of the police department, which is to serve and protect, Lightfoot said, according to the Sun-Times. And then, actually, Illinois was the first state to abolish the cash bail system, which they said marks a substantial step in dismantling the systemic racism that plagues our communities, our state, and our nation, and brings us closer to true safety, true fairness, and true justice. That was the Governor Pritzker after he signed the bill in February. That was awesome. Milwaukee, I'm just going to run through every single one of these cities. There's only six of them, so, you know. But again, just pointing out the hypocrisy, just so that we can see, and I don't know how many people will actually ever get to these numbers. And I don't mean me and my show and Real Liberty Media. I mean, I don't know how they would ever, it seems to me that today, you know, Facebook is the one who determines what is true and what isn't true. They're the ones who regulate thought in this country. And unfortunately, there's more than 50% of the country that I think has fallen, you know, in lockstep with Facebook and Amazon and Google and everybody else who's regulating speech and regulating thought and regulating what's fact or fiction. So they certainly wouldn't want these numbers to come out. They certainly wouldn't want people to know the truth. They certainly don't want to distract from anything other than cops killing unarmed black men. The 9 or 10 or 100 a year, it's nowhere near 100, supposedly. But we don't want to look at the truth. You know, we don't want to face these numbers and have to deal with the truth because it's not important. This part isn't important. That's what I'm saying. Black lives should matter. We should care about all life, and we don't. We hide the facts. We hide the truth. You know, what are we doing to fix this problem? What do we need to do to fix this problem? You know, and it doesn't say in here, you know, that blacks were killed by blacks or blacks were killed by whites or, you know, whatever. The bottom line is, it's too much murder. Too many people are dying for whatever reason, and we're not even looking at what that reason is. Yeah, we are. We're looking at the reason. The reason all these people are dying is because let's make it an even number, 10 unarmed black men were killed the year before by cops. So, I don't know, so far what have I come up with? 100, 200, 300 additional black lives were lost because we're completely ignoring this problem, the problem that black people are dying in the cities, that black people are dying in the cities where we're defunding the police, where we're supposedly changing the criminal justice system for the better. I mean, honestly, I hope if there's a better that we get to it. I don't think it's going to change this. I don't think the approach we're making now that's so popular is going to affect this number. So I don't know how we get there. I don't know what the answer is. And I truly wish I knew what the answer was. I don't know if more policing or less policing is the answer. You know, I've kind of always been a believer in anarchy, but anarchy's ugly. Anarchy is tough, man. I guess there are probably a few societies right now, a few cultures, a few countries, cities that may have anarchy. Oh, sure, there are. I mean, I could think of a few, but it's it's tough because who makes the laws during anarchy? Who makes the rules and who enforces them? I mean, if you're not doing something, if you're doing something that irritates me, I just take you out. That's it. You know, do we negotiate a treaty and then do I trust whoever it is who I'm negotiating that treaty with or whatever it is? Not saying I'm against it, that's for sure, but it's a rough go. You know, when you give up, some kind of, I know, some system of rules and regulations, even though I am truly not a believer in how many rules and regulations we have and make every single day in this country, we could surely live on far fewer. I'm missing out on a couple. Did I do Milwaukee, Pittsburgh, Indianapolis? Okay, let's see. One of them. Okay, so Indianapolis, black people, I just want to do this because this is a little bit, I was going to say more positive note, but that's just stupid. Black people represented 58 of the 98 murder victims in Indianapolis between January 1, 21 and June 1, 21, according to a homicide database created by the Indianapolis Star. Last year, black people were the victims of 53 of the 70 total murders. So, while the percentage of homicide victims who were black decreased from 75% to 59% in that period, the number of total black homicide victims still increased, the data showed. So, that's going to do it for this week's show. I really appreciate you guys in the chat. And I really just appreciate being back here on Really Liberty Media, even though I was kind of only gone for a week. It did suck. I didn't like it a bit. Anyway, you guys have an awesome week. I will probably see you on Saturday next week, I hope, anyway. And you guys stay safe and be awesome. Thank you.